Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lassiter, and Corey Labounty.
Good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, Rick Cleveland. Good morning, Mark Lassiter.
Good morning. I'm sitting here listening to a little bit of, you know, wake up every morning to the alarm clock's warning. You can't beat that. I'm just telling you. I love this music, Dalt. You just do a great job, buddy. I'm just telling you.
Dalt, good morning, pal.
Hey, morning. Forgot I had a microphone there. Thank you, Coach.
That's all for Mike. But good morning, everybody. Man, what a great day to be alive, buddy. I'm telling you. Great day to be alive.
It is that, Mark. And there's a lot of things going on, a lot of things that really, you know, have made nationwide news, worldwide news in the sporting world, in Alabama high school sports. And we're certainly going to talk a little bit about that. But I want to start the show this morning on a sad note, and a note that Mark generally does our Camp Grace segment. I'm going to steal that from him today. This past week we lost a dear friend of ours, and a man who made a huge difference in a lot of people's lives. Today's Prep Sports Report is in memory of Jim Roberts. Jim Roberts was an attorney. He was an attorney who worked out of Spanish Fort. He was a judge there in Spanish Fort. He made an indelible difference in my life and in a lot of other people's lives. And today we will celebrate Jim's life at the Spanish Fort United Methodist Church. We have a visitation at 11 o'clock. And the funeral services will take place at high noon. And it's a difficult time for a lot of people because this man made a huge difference in a lot of people's lives. And I pray that those of you that are listeners to the Prep Sports Report will be in prayer for Tracy and Robert and Steele and Jane Allen and Mary Bourne and Caroline. And those of you who've seen the video that's gone viral now with Jim dancing the father-daughter dance at Mary Bourne's wedding last week, I mean, it is something that I just cannot even imagine that Mary Bourne was able to get through. But because of her faith, and because of the faith that Jim had and that family has, they were able to make that father-daughter dance. And everything that I know and believe and have in faith in, I believe God allowed Jim to live to see through that wedding that was such a beautiful, beautiful wedding for that family. So I pray that you'll be with Jim Roberts' family this week. And this show is dedicated to Jim Roberts, and he was just one amazing man. If you didn't know him, you missed one of the truly, truly great men in the world, and I mean that with all my heart. All right, you know, guys, Mark, this subject that we're going to talk about today is something that it baffles me to no end. Maori Davenport is a young lady who is a basketball player at Charles Henderson High School in Troy, Alabama. And Maori played basketball for Team USA. And she received a check for $857.20 from USA Basketball for playing for Team USA in the FIBA America's Under-18 tournament in Mexico City in August. Now, payment for play clearly violates the AHSAA amateur rule. And it's a clear – we all know it. I mean, every coach, if you don't know it, you should know it. And the punishment for breaking the rule is a one-season suspension from play. Well, USA basketball officials admitted the organization mistakenly sent a check to Davenport. Well, what we have here is a clear case of an adult and an institution, USA Basketball, not knowing the rule. Her mother is a middle school basketball coach, not knowing the rule. And the Alabama High School Athletic Association followed their rules that the schools make. And in making those rules, the executive director of the association, Steve Savarese, he abided by the rule that the schools have made, the central board, the legislative council, every part of the Alabama High School Athletic Association has upheld that. It has gone through every process it can go through. And every board within the framework of the Alabama High School Athletic Association has upheld this. And to be honest with you, from our point of view as a coach, Mark, I mean, this is a rule that we know we have to follow. We may not agree with the rule, but it's a rule. And if the rule needs to be changed, then the schools need to change it. The Alabama High School Athletic Association cannot change it. The AHSAA is simply the executive branch. They carry out the rules and the laws that are established by the school system that is so doggone, I mean, so doggone caring about our student athletes. And I'm going to tell you something. This is what bothers me. And I'm prejudiced. I'm going to be the first one to tell you I'm prejudiced. I love Steve Savarese. I worked for him for a lot of years. Now, he won't let me say I worked for him. I worked with him, just like you did, Mark. And for the things to have been said about Steve Savarese, it not only hurts me for Beth and Stephen and Christina and those grandchildren. You don't know Steve Savarese. I mean, I've read things where they called him a racist. They've said things about him that they have no idea what they're saying. This is a man of the most, the most intense compassion for the student athlete that I've ever been around. And he has to do what he is mandated to do. Now, I don't care what the federal courts say. Doesn't matter to me what they say. You cannot, people, you cannot blame a man doing his job for what the action that's taken place. And this is, Mark, it baffles me to no end that a judge who is supposed to follow the letter of the law will step outside the boundaries after the Alabama Supreme Court has already said time and time and time again that we are going to let the Alabama High School Athletic Association run athletics in Alabama, and we are not going to step into it. People, let the Alabama High School Athletic Association, which is all the member schools, make their rules and then allow the executive director to make enforce the rule. That's all he does. He doesn't make the rules. He enforces the rules. And that is his job. And let me tell you something. It's not easy. And that's what makes me so angry, is how Steve Savarese has been dragged through the mud here when all he has done is carried out the mandate by the schools for him to do his job. And I care about this child. I hate that this has happened. Everybody hates that it has happened. Her mother is a middle school basketball coach. They are intelligent people. They have got to know the rules. Now, does the rule probably need to be changed? It may need to be changed, but if it needs to be changed, then the schools need to change the rules, and then the executive director will follow the mandate of the schools. So, you know, maybe the punishment is too harsh, but if it is, then let's change it. But the schools have to change it. We're going to talk to Josh Bean in just a minute, Mark. Now, sorry, I got on a rampage there, but that's the way we are. We'll be back with more with Josh Bean on the Maori Davenport situation right here on PSR and Radio Alabama.
CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name in lights above it.
All right, welcome back to PSR.
This is your big day.
We're efforting Josh Bean. And Josh Bean has been very active with AL.com, and I don't know what position Josh Bean is going to take. And at the same time, while and we can't seem to get him, but we're going to continue to get him throughout this show, through the two-hour show, and at whatever point in time we can get him, we most certainly will. But, you know, Mark, as and I went on a said what I had to say about it, but I know you have some feelings on that as well.
You know, the and we've been on this thing and talked about controversial issues throughout our since I've ever been on this radio show, and we've always taken the stand that we're going to go on what we know. I can't put into things, inject what might be or what could be. Here are the things that I know. The rule book states that no uncertain terms, this is what happens if this happens. It cannot be a gray area for the central board or for the executive director, Steve Savarese, to make decisions on, whether we like it or not. There's not, if it's written in the handbook, and that is the rules of the state of Alabama, High School Athletic Association, then that's what has to be upheld regardless. And I'm not trying to be a jerk about it, because I hate it for this child. I hate that she is caught in the argument and caught in this situation because adults made mistakes. That's what I hate. I hate it for her. I knew coming out of college, I just knew when I started coaching, I didn't have to read a rule book. I knew that if you got paid to play, you were no longer an amateur athlete, period. I just knew that. And so anytime that happens, you know, you can't take money. You just can't. And it's not her fault. She probably didn't know. She's a kid.
No,
I get that.
Yeah.
But somebody had to have said, stepped in there sooner or later and said, stop. And USA Basketball, I don't even know that organization. Is that an AAU league? I don't even know what it is.
It's an International Basketball Association.
But before they start doing things with kids that play sports in schools, they need to know the rules of that kid.
Well, there's
and that,
no doubt.
They shouldn't do that kind of thing. Now, whatever happened with the money, it doesn't make any difference. She took the money, she put it in her bank account. That's what I understood, is what I read.
And kept it for 3 months.
And kept it for 3 months. Because obviously, the child didn't know. I thought mom should have known. She's a coach. Maybe she didn't know. Well, that's her fault.
Yeah.
I hate to say that, but it is. And so, bottom line is, that's the way the thing runs. Now, here's the part that I really, whatever happens in that, there have been, I'll tell you what, Coach Savarese and the High School Athletic Association, Dan Washburn before him, made rulings on things that just, you know, I was involved in one with about an ineligible player when I was at Hamilton High School. I had nothing to do with. Right. Nothing. It happened before I got there. I found out the kid was too old. It was horrible. We had to forfeit games because it was wrong on his – when they filed the birth certificate stuff 2 years beforehand when he first came in, they put the date down wrong on his birth date. When it was, you know, it used to be handwritten. Remember how we had to do it all? It was wrong. Well, the kid came into me when I put that poster up, said how old he was. He said, Coach, I'm 19 years old. This was before they changed the rule about when 19-year-olds could play.
Right.
And so I turned it into the state. And I'm thinking, that probably may let us go because it happened 3 years ago. I had no way of knowing the child was over the age because everything was – when the printout came out, it showed what they wrote down. So I thought he was fine.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, we got hammered. Okay, they went by black and white rule in the book. period.
Yeah.
That's it. And that's what's done here. Now, to turn on Steve Savarese and say the things they're saying about that man, then you don't know the man.
No.
I coached with him. I've been with him. I know the love and passion he has for kids. It doesn't matter what color they are.
No.
And I can promise you today, Steve Savarese is hurting for that child as much as anybody else is.
Yeah.
I promise you that. He's not sitting there going, thinking, yeah, this I did this because she's a black girl. That's bull. Yeah. If anybody thinks that, then they are completely wrong. That man would never do that, ever.
No,
or he wouldn't be in that position, first of all. Second of all, people who are on the outside getting notoriety for this, people on ESPN got no business having forums and talking about what's going on with the High School Athletic Association of Alabama with our executive director decisions he makes, not without knowing all of the rules. If you don't know the rules, then why are you talking about it? All you're going to do is cast blame and throw, but you know what it does? It puts people on their TV show. It puts money in their bank, as far as I can understand. That's the only reason people would do it. Why would you ever say something about a guy that you absolutely know nothing about? Look at his staff at the High School Athletic Association. Tell me he's a racist. You tell me that.
Yeah,
you look at his staffs he's hired throughout his career, and you tell me he's a racist. You ask the kids that have played ball for him, and you tell me he's a racist. And when you can do that, then I'll say, okay, I'll listen to you. But you can't do that because it's not true. And that just burns me up when people do that to people that I know and I care about. I don't, and you know, it wouldn't matter if it was Dan Washburn. I know Dan Washburn's not if he was still in charge, he's not a racist either.
Right.
But people just come out and say these things, and that's not the only thing they're saying. Now, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But that's the kind of society we live in now. We jump off the pier without even checking to see how deep the water is, and we say things that we don't know are true or false. We just say things and accuse people, and it's just wrong. You know, I read some tweets by Rich. I mean, I'm not a big tweeter, y'all all know that, but I read one. Richie Brooks said on there, he says, no matter what has happened in this case, it is shameful to me to see how people from ESPN and other parts of our country have called our friend Steve Savarese these horrible things and said these horrible things about our legislative body in the High School Athletic Association, our central board. Then they've said these things, and it's just wrong. The bottom line is the rule's black and white. He has to enforce the rule that's in the book, period. There's no gray area. He can't go into gray areas. If the central board starts going into gray areas, then these hundreds and hundreds of cases that come across their desk every day will end up in court, and you'll never get anything done because everybody has an opinion that there is a gray area. There is a but to the situation. Now, I know so-and-so did so-and-so, but there is no but.
Yeah.
Money was exchanged. Money went in the bank account. All of a sudden, the amateur status goes away, and I hate it for the child.
Let's go to the CNC Financial Auto Plan Communication Lines. Let's talk to Kevin. Kevin, how you doing, pal?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Always enjoying the show.
Yes, sir.
You know, we don't have to go to the state level right there, the national level, things like that. We look right here what happened local with Coach Riley and Coach Pope at Davidson. You know, The news media and the school board and people at large just, you know, they jump to conclusions. And like I'm with you, you know the character of the person, you know them as a friend, and you know them as a coach and an educator, what they do for these children out there and stuff. And for people in the news media and at large to just jump on board and start browbeating these people and calling them names and things like that, it's just wrong. But the problem is that our society has allowed that to happen with all the fake news that's out there. Again, all it does is sell ratings for them, and that's all they want. They don't care about the end result. They just care about the right now. So I'm with you on Coach Savarese. You know, it's sad that this is happening, and it ought not be that way. But, you know, not only from a local or a state or a national level. You know, they need to get the facts first before they go out and rush to judgment.
Kevin, thank you
for
that,
call,
pal.
Buddy.
Appreciate it a bunch. And you're exactly right about Fred Riley and Jay Pope and us two other guys that I have the utmost respect for. And I can tell you this, that when situations like this arise, there needs to be that silent majority out there that speaks up and stands up for that which, when we know what is right. Now, if we're ignorant to the law or we're ignorant to the rule, then we need to keep our mouth shut. And, you know, I've always had a lot of respect for Jay Billis. I thought he's, I think he's one of the really, really outstanding commentators in college basketball. I love his ideas and thoughts about the play on the floor. I love his ideas about coaching, and I respected him as a player. But I've lost all respect for him as a journalist. I can tell you that, because he has simply made a complete, in my own eyes, he has made just a mistake in the statements that he's made. And of course, that's his right under the law. He can say anything he wants to say as long as it's true. And I hope he'll research it and know what he's saying is true. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5, Radio Alabama, WIA 106.5, and the Lake 105.5 in at Lake Martin. Coming to you live in Houston, Doubletree in Manhattan, Columbia, South Carolina, Birmingham, Alabama, Atlanta, Georgia. And we'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5.
The Prep Sports Report is brought to you by Future Ones, providers of practice apparel and scout team jerseys with interchangeable numbers. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to PSR. The show is dedicated to the memory of Jim Roberts. Let's go to the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Lines and talk to Eddie. Eddie, how you doing, pal?
I'm doing very, very well, Coach. How are you this morning?
Kind of hot.
Listen, I've been listening to this conversation. I wanted to throw something in from a different direction. I don't know anything about USA basketball, obviously. I do know something about USA Junior Olympics, and which is USA baseball. Our son was invited to play in that particular stuff when he was 16 years old in Fort Myers, Florida, with a team out of California. And they specifically sent us in writing stuff that mentioned, you know, you cannot take money, you cannot sign autographs for money, you cannot do anything like that. It will mess with your amateur status. And then he was invited a year later to go to Team USA, Orlando, Florida, this time, got the same information again. All this was USA baseball tied together, and explained to everybody that came, you know, you cannot take money. If you do, you lose your amateur status, et cetera, et cetera. So there are rules out there, but again, I don't know anything about USA basketball whatsoever. But I thought that might give you a little different look at stuff.
Well, let me say this. That's a shining example of the way it should be handled.
Done.
That's exactly the way it should be handled.
Sure.
And Christopher Boyette was the top of the line,
yes,
representative of the game of baseball. And Eddie and Teresa would never have accepted money and wouldn't have allowed Christopher to accept money. Eddie would have worked 10 jobs to make sure that Christopher could have had that opportunity, just like I'm sure many parents would. So I don't know. Eddie, I'm baffled by this. The part that baffles me is that the people in the media don't understand that the schools make these rules. And one of the schools that made that rule is Charles Henderson High School.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they want to throw it back on a man who all he does is carries out the law, the wishes, the rules of the member schools. And that's what bothers me, Eddie. I think that's the part that it breaks my heart for this child. It breaks heart for the child. But at the same time, you know, I, and if there's something that can change about this rule, if something good comes of this, it is that maybe we will relook at the rule and the schools will say, well, maybe that is a little too harsh. But, you know, then I see the other side of it, Eddie. If you accept money, you lose your amateur status.
That's correct.
So, I'm conflicted there. But thank you for your call, and that's a shining example of exactly the way it should be done, Eddie.
Well, I just wanted to do that to try to help out, because I know Steve very well. We were inducted into Hall of Fame together one night.
That's right.
Know him very well. He's a very good guy, and I can't believe he would do anything that's being
no
no
thrown
never,
his way.
No,
absolutely
never
not.
Would.
But, gentlemen, y'all have a good day. Take care of yourselves.
Good to hear from you, buddy.
Take care, sir.
Bye-bye.
Right. We'll see you. That's a fine man there, buddy.
Yeah, it is.
That's a shining example. And there's a guy who dedicated his life to helping not only his child, but other people's children, too. I mean, mine's one of them.
Yeah.
He made a huge difference in my own son's life.
You know, Mayori wasn't the only student to receive checks from USA Basketball. You also had Anaya Peoples. She's in Illinois. She's going to go to Notre Dame to play. At least she's a recruit from Notre Dame.
Right.
But she called her high school after she got it, returned the check without depositing it or anything, so she remained eligible.
Right.
And there was one more player from Missouri, Aisha Blackwell, and she received money. She was at a private school, I guess left that private school, but since then, Missouri has said that if she did return, she would be eligible. I guess maybe trying to avoid this entire storm that's arisen because of the Davenport situation.
You know, this is another part to this story. You know, when the mom received the check, she called the coach at the University of Louisville. Now, that's not a very good place to call, I would think, after
not
all the
right
problems
now,
they've
no.
had. And she asked him, should she take the money? And the Louisville coach said yes. Asking him doesn't only demonstrate that she knew something was wrong. Why didn't she pick up the phone and call
the High School,
High School Athletic Association?
I mean, why? That's where the decisions are made. They're not made in Louisville.
Just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. But, you know, it does. Well, it doesn't and it does. You know, either there's a complete amount of ignorance on the knowledge of the rules, or you just did it because you wanted to do it anyway. Now, that one of the two is the reason. Regardless of it, the rule was broken.
Right.
It says it plain as day in the handbook, and it's being upheld by the central board and our executive director, and that's the way it's supposed to be done.
Well, when you look at it too as well, you know, you got to look at the athletic director at Charles Henderson High School. You know, did she ask him? Did she go to him and say, Coach, what do we do here? Did she go to the basketball coach? Did she go to the principal? Any of them. But even more important, why did they not pick up the phone and call the Alabama High School? You know, we've learned that, Mark. We've learned as coaches. And every time the AHSAA issues something, if you have a problem, call our office, and we will tell you exactly what the rule is.
And you can go step by step with them through a situation to keep yourself on the upside of the law.
We finally got Josh Beam. And so let's go live with Josh Beam. Josh, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lassiter on the air with you. Good morning, pal.
Good morning, fellas. Hope
morning,
you're well.
Josh. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Good to hear from you guys.
You too, pal. It's been a while.
We've been, of course, talking about what everybody across the nation's been talking about, the Mayori-Davenport situation. Want you to bring us up to date on the latest.
Yeah, so she got to play last night. Folks who haven't been covering this super closely, you know, her family filed a lawsuit late in the week asking the AHSA suspension of her to be overturned. And then on Friday morning, Pike County judge ruled in her favor, which meant she could play last night, and she did. And so I was there. It was, you know, the town, her family, her team. I mean, they really felt like it was, a second chance for her. And folks were, of course, super excited about her being able to return to the court.
Josh, as we go through this, and we want to hold you over for the next segment because we originally had you on at 8:15. Corey LeBounty had tried to get you on at 8:15, and we want to hold you over as we go into the break. So as the music comes on, if you'll stay with us, okay?
Sure.
As a journalist who's covered high school sports throughout the state of Alabama and has covered the AHSAA for many years, give us your take on this.
Well, I mean, I think this is such a fascinating case. I mean, I think both, and I wrote this last month, I mean, I think both sides have really strong cases here. You know, really what the Mayori Davenport side, what she and her family have contended is, look, we didn't try to break this rule. We didn't try to deceive anyone. And as soon as we learned that a rule was broken, we paid the money back. The HSAA side is saying, look, we're simply following the rule. We have a rule on the books. It says if this rule is broken, here's what the punishment is, which it's a season-long suspension. So I think both of them have really fascinating, compelling cases. And I do think that what ultimately made this into a national story is that distinction, right? There's a distinction here between a rule was broken and Maury Davenport broke the rule. And so my opinion is that's what ultimately sparked the outrage, is that she did not – no one disputes this. She did not try to break this rule. She didn't intend to break this rule. It wasn't as if she were waving her arm in Troy saying, hey, I want to play for Team USA so I can get paid $800 to play in Mexico. That's not what happened. But also, no one disputes the rule was broken. Nobody disputes that she should not have received this money, that she cashed the check, and that and so the HSA is simply saying, look, we found her in violation of the rule, and this is what the rule specifies what the punishment is.
You know, Josh, I think you are on target about that. I think that I don't know the family. You know, I don't know anything about the Davenports at all. But I do think that I don't think she went into this tournament to make money. I don't think that was a part of the deal. I think the thing came afterwards. But I think that when the money was taken, a mistake was made, then it becomes, no matter how that went about happening, the mistake was made. At that point, when the rule is broken, the High School Athletic Association has to make a ruling. Because in this case, they could come back and they can talk about this. And let's say they, in a hypothetical situation, they said, okay, we're going to say she didn't mean to, and we're going to fix it and let her play. Well, then next year or next month, when something else comes about, and they can claim that, and these people, let's say somebody, other kid did the same type thing in another sport or whatever, and they said, well, this happened. Next thing you know, you got two or three more, and then all of a sudden that thing snowballs, and the High School Athletic Association has no way to stop it because they've already ruled in favor, and they can't go back. Yeah. So they have to stay with what's black and white.
Yeah, Mark, I suspect that that's why I wasn't around when this rule was initially developed. I suspect that's why the rule has such a harsh punishment. It was meant to serve as a It was meant to send a message that, look, this is one of the most important rules that we have. And you guys, you guys have coached a long time. You guys have looked at that HSA handbook. There's a lot of rules there. I mean,
sure.
I can be sympathetic to a parent or a coach who says, wow, I wasn't quite, you know, I probably should have paid more attention to that rule. But I suspect that this rule was specifically written in this way to say, don't break it, because there's a really severe penalty, and it
that's right.
It specifies one penalty, and I get that people in our state and around the country look at that and say, wow, you know, there's no way here for us to look at special or unique circumstances,
right. Yeah, that's right,
and make some different determination. Hey, like I said, I wasn't there when this rule was created, but I suspect that's what happened.
Hey, we're talking to Josh Bean of AL.com. We're going to hold him over to the next segment. We're going to get all into this Maury Davenport because he's right on top of all the issues. We'll be back with more right here on Prep Sports Report.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Parker Dental and Orthodontics. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
All right, welcome back to Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha, and we are coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. I really love it when I get a text from my buddies at the DoubleTree Hotel, sitting in the heart of Manhattan, and they say, Coach, Coach, this is the most fired up we've ever heard you.
And you want to tell them, can I drive up there and just sit down and have coffee with y'all today and listen to somebody else do that today?
That's exactly right. You know, we're blessed and privileged. And again, I want everyone to know that this show, this entire 2 hours of PSR, is dedicated to the memory of one amazing Christ-centered man, our dear friend Jim Roberts. And we're visiting with Josh Bean from AL.com, who, and Josh, thank you so much for doing a great job of covering this story. And you, everything you do it with passion, and you do a great job of covering high school sports, and always have. But I wanted to ask you, have you had the chance to interview the mom and dad of the young lady?
Yeah, I talked to the mom in the last week, and then I talked to both of the parents last night. And I mean, of course, last night, I mean, they were really riding this wave of relief and elation about getting to see their daughter play again. I've talked to them, and you know, they've worked as hard as they could, you know, to try to get her back on the court. That happened last night, and you know, of course, they were just overjoyed.
Couple of things that I want to interject here. First of all, what you and Mark were talking about prior to the break, you know, if you make an exception for one child, you got to make an exception for every child, and I really think that the Alabama High School Athletic Association has followed that to the letter. The other thing is, in this situation, the mom and daughter obviously had talked about this, because the mom called the coach at the University of Louisville and asked him if she should take the money. And he said yes.
Yeah.
Now,
I have not talked specifically to her about that. But I do know that, you know, there's definitely confusion out there, right? I mean, USA Basketball, the coaches who directed this team are college coaches.
Right.
And there is an NCAA rule that allows college players to receive this money. In fact, that's why USA Basketball sent the money to the players.
But she's not a college player. She's not a college player. She's not.
The person with USA Basketball who was responsible for sending these checks apparently just thought, oh, everybody on the under 18 team is now college. So I'm just going to send everybody checks.
Yeah.
But the underclassmen, they're not governed by NCAA rules, not yet. They are governed by the rules of each of their states. Each state's rules are a little bit different.
No.
Just like each state has slightly different rules in their criminal court system, every state has different rules. And so, you know, really the villain here is USA Basketball.
Well,
USA Basketball...
You're
made
right.
a huge error by sending the money. Now, and so there's this confluence of events, right? USA Basketball makes a mistake. They don't realize they made the mistake for a long time. Alabama's rule does not allow for a player to regain eligibility by paying restitution or something like that. It only specifies one punishment, which is a season-long suspension. So there's all these circumstances that we now know about.
Right.
And I think that makes her such a sympathetic figure, because all of these things happened largely out of her control.
Well, Josh, I'm not familiar with, and I've been in this business for 40 years, I'm not familiar with another state that allows a student athlete to accept money. As you said, there are states that allow them to accept this large amount of money. I'm not aware of a state that allows that. The National Federation is adamantly opposed to students violating the amateur status.
Yeah, and I think there probably are a handful of states that allow you to regain your eligibility if you repay the money. But you're right. I mean, I think that the amateurism rule is
nationwide.
Level is one of the. You know, it's one of the most sacred rules out there.
Right, right. Well, you know, and the last thing is, every high school coach in this state gets memos from the high school office. And if the mother, who is a middle school basketball coach, first of all, why did they not call the Alabama High School Athletic Association, just pick up the phone, instead of calling the coach at the University of Louisville of all schools and say, and Charlotte Davis would have answered the phone and sent you directly to whomever you want to talk to and said, this is our situation, what is the rule? The principal didn't do that. The head coach didn't do that. The athletic director didn't do that. And more importantly, the parents didn't do that. Why would they
And USA Basketball never did that. I mean,
right.
You know, USA Basketball could have called the HSAA. They
right.
could have called the principal. They could have, heck, they could have called me or Ben Thomas.
That's true.
USA Basketball, that's true. You're right.
Basketball,
yeah.
USA Basketball could have just gone to the HSA website, pulled up the
and seen the rule. That's right.
Pulled up the rule book yeah. and just, you know, you can search.
It's easy.
You can search yeah. for amateurism, and it'll take you. That's how I went back and rechecked the rule, right? So
the
USA Basketball clearly made a huge mistake, and you know that ends up hurting this player.
That's right.
And you know, look, I could not be more sympathetic, because I don't believe that this young woman intended to break this rule. I don't believe that she tried to deceive anyone once she learned the rule was broke. So she engenders a huge amount of sympathy, you know, for,
right.
I mean, I think that's a good reason. We talked about the distinction, I think, between breaking a rule and a rule being broken.
Right.
And then, of course, she's sympathetic because she played for Team USA, that she's essentially being punished for playing for Team USA, and I think on a national level, that really resonated with people.
Well, that's true, but, you know, and I think the thing, and it bothers me that Jay Billis and Kobe Bryant and all of those have chimed in, but I commend them for caring about kids. I do. But at the same time, you know, what I think Mark and I hate, because we coach for this man, Steve Savarese, he's the one getting the blame for this. And
there's
Josh...
There's no question that he's the villain.
And that's wrong.
You know, he's been cast as the villain in the story.
He is the executive branch. That office, they carry out the laws that are made by the schools, and Charles Henderson is one of those schools that made this rule and agreed with it. And there's no reason for Steve Savarese. I mean, to call this man a racist, are you kidding me? You know him. You know him. And
I agree that I think that sort of thing is really over the top.
Yeah.
I mean, from the outside looking in, and I've said this to other people in discussing this, I realize we all want other people to do what we think they should do, but when I look at the way the rule is written, I can't imagine what choice he had in this matter. You know,
you're right.
I think he woke up that morning and unlocked his office door and said, "Boy, I can't wait to figure out a way to find somebody ineligible today." But the rule says, if found in violation of
right.
this, here's what the punishment is.
That's right.
So,
that's it. He he's in a super tough spot. I mean, because if he says, well, there's these special circumstances and the rule doesn't allow for me to consider that, but I'm going to do that in this particular case, I mean, he's putting his credibility on the line. Every past and future decision that he makes is now up for a much larger debate, because folks are going to say, look, you didn't follow the rule in this case. You didn't follow the letter of the law. So...
Thanks, Josh. We appreciate it, pal. We got to get out of here. We're on a hard break. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5 and Radio Alabama.
Live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey Labounty.
All right, welcome back to PSR. Prep Sports Radio Network, Radio Alabama, WIA 106.5, covering all of Talladega County and the lake, 101.5, covering beautiful Lake Martin. 43,000 acres. We're covering the entire river region up there in the Montgomery area. So excited to be a part of that. All the way, coming to you all the way live direct to Houston, Texas, Manhattan, Doubletree Hotel, Columbia, South Carolina, Birmingham, Alabama, Atlanta, Georgia, Dothan, Alabama, Fort Walton Beach, Florida, the beautiful sandy beaches of Destin, Florida. Thank you for being a part of Prep Sports Report. And, hey, you folks traveling over to Atlanta and thereabout, go by and see our buddies at Williamson Brothers Barbecue. And, I've had a bunch of people from over the Pensacola area that have told me, said, Coach, you have turned us on to the Williamson Brothers barbecue sauce and absolutely love it. You can pick it up in the Publix's and Walmart's, and boy, I'm telling you, it's a great group of folks over there at Williamson Brothers Barbecue, right out in three different locations in the Atlanta area and Marietta, and let's see, and I'll try to think where all those places are. Marietta, Canton, and Douglasville. Boy, you don't want to miss it. If you're in that area, you want to go by and visit with Williamson Brothers Barbecue. Let's go back to the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Lines, and we're going to talk to David, our buddy from Daphne. We're going to talk to David. David, how you doing, pal?
Pretty good. Coach, I know in your interview with Josh, you said that, you know, any coach in the state could just pick up the phone and call the High School Athletics Association and ask about a particular situation. Is there one person whose job is to act kind of like a clearinghouse for those questions? Or, you know, because my concern is if you just talk to any particular person, you know as well as I do, you ask a three lawyers about a particular law, you're going to get five different opinions.
Yeah, Josh. I mean, David, that's a good question. Yes. Yes, there are. Depending on what sport it is, there are different people in that office that have responsibility over particular sports. Now, if they don't know, they'll go to Steve, and they will go through the entire book. They'll read it to you verbatim, and they'll give you your answer, and there won't be any confusion, I can promise you.
Well, that's good to know. And then my second question is this. Do you think that this controversy is going to spur a movement within the members of the High School Athletic Association to add some sort of, you know, not necessarily exemption, but, you know, like a rule where if, you know, a mistake is discovered like this and it's not really the student athlete's fault, if they pay the money back within a, like a 24 or 48-hour time period after the mistake is, you know, is discovered, that they can get their eligibility back?
You know, David, I think there'll be a lot of discussion about that. I think there'll be a lot of discussion. And Mark, I think you've even mentioned, I think that there'll be a lot of discussion. I think there'll be debate about that. But I'm going to tell you something. That rule, 50 states adhere to that rule. And Josh didn't refute that. They may have a different interpretation as to far as what the punishment is, but all 50 states that are members of the National Federation of High Schools, their amateur rule is one that is tough and strong.
As well as it should be, because you don't want a situation where you got shoe companies or agents coming in and paying high school student athletes because of their talent, and there does need to be a way for student athletes who are victimized either by the system or by the adults in their situation to get their eligibility back once a mistake is discovered like this.
That, good point.
I would agree. Yeah,
that's a good point, David.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks a bunch. Take care.
You know, I'm ready to move on from this subject, but I want to say the last thing I have to say about it, and I heard Josh talking about it. At the end of the day, what it comes down to is that a rule was broken.
Right.
And the rule has been enforced.
Right.
Now, what the people on the outside accusing the High School Athletic Association and saying, oh, they shouldn't do that and it ought to be appealed, what they're basically asking is for Steve and Steve Savarese and our legislative council from our central board to assess the character of the people involved.
Right.
Basically, and you cannot do that. Because, you know, and I feel for this child. Oh. I feel for her family. And I know last night must have been wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, to get out there, even if it may be a small reprieve where it may, I don't know how long that's going to last, and I don't know how that works.
Right.
I don't know, so I'm not even going to go there. But all I know is that when a rule is like this, rather how it was broken makes no difference. It was broken.
Right.
Therefore, the rule has to be enforced. It cannot be left to Coach Savarese to make a judgment or an assessment of the character of the family involved. Yeah. He can't do that. No. He has to abide by the rule. I'm sure this family is heartbroken. And USA Basketball should be ashamed of themselves. For all those things happened. Right. Mistakes were made. Because he enforced it, it cannot be blamed upon him or our central board. It cannot be. That is to completely. That's the easy thing to do, to throw darts at people who enforce the law.
Right.
That's easy.
Right.
It's hard to, you know, and what you can't say. Let's say next week, Rick, you have your son has decided he's going to play in a baseball tournament, and he gets paid for it, and you didn't know, and you get he gets a check, sure. And you say, hey, you made a ruling on this,
and then
he has to assess your character,
yeah.
So he's going to have to do that every time. That's not his job.
No, it's not
his job. Is to enforce the rule
that's
in the handbook. So, folks, it's a bad situation. We here at Prep Sports Report, our hearts break. For Miss Davenport, that just kills my soul,
because
she is a tremendous athlete, tremendous player, and I think she is of great character. I really do. I do believe that in my heart.
Right.
But the mistake was made. Whoever made it, it has to be enforced. And I say kudos to Steve Savarese and our central board for upholding the law, whether it may be something that's looked well upon or down upon by the public. It doesn't matter. They upheld the law that's in the book. Period.
Well said, pal. Well said. Let's go to the CNC Financial Auto Sales and Communication Lines and talk to our buddy David. David, how you doing, pal?
I'm doing great. How's everybody?
We're good.
Man, doing great. What you got over there today, babe?
I still got a handful of under $5,000 cars ready to go, waiting on this tax season to get fired up.
There you go.
So, we're lining them up, waiting on truckload. I just got a hold of a 1999. This will bring you back, Rick. I don't know if you can fit this or not, but... 99 Honda Prelude, one owner.
Woo! Huh? Does it have the little lip spoiler on the back?
Nah, this one doesn't. But give me another week, I'll have it ready to roll.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
You know, the problem with those, I don't know if I could get out of one anymore.
No.
I could get in it. I could fall.
Getting out harder.
I get tickled. I can't get Diane in my big truck because you almost got to have a ladder to get in it.
Well, I would have to have a ladder.
Yeah, you would have to have a ladder, but I couldn't get in that little car there. No.
But besides that, I got lots of other stuff on the lot. We got a beautiful pearl white Lexus LS460 with about 80,000 miles on it. That's under about $16,000. So
that's awesome.
Man, that's awesome.
For all budgets.
You got easy financing.
Easy finance, and I got one bank that nobody else in this country has but us.
Yep.
That's PNC Financial.
There you go.
All right. Tell us where you're located.
We are in Creighton, right behind the McDonald's. You can get us at cncfinancialandautosales.com. We still have Premier Party Bus, which has been going and blowing. And you can also call us at 251-338-9019. But you're not going to let me get off without giving you my 2 cents.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right.
I just have one opinion.
Okay.
Let's just say this had been Hoover starting quarterback in August. Do you think we'd be hearing about this on national TV every night?
Probably not.
Exactly.
No, probably not.
It is what it is.
It is. It is what
Gentlemen,
it is.
Gentlemen, have a wonderful weekend.
Take care, David. We'll see you soon. Okay. You know, and on what he's saying, Mark, is Team USA – playing for the United States, and because of that, there's a residual effect to that, you know, this girl's representing her country, and, you know, as much as we understand that, it's still a rule, and we just have to move on past it. Now, you're free to call us or text us with your thoughts and feelings on that, 251-343-0106. We'd love to hear from you, but we're moving on. I think you know pretty well how we feel about this situation. We hate it. We absolutely hate it for Maury Davenport. But, you know, it is what it is. We wish her nothing but absolutely to become everything she wants to become at Rutgers University.
And she will.
And I think she will.
She will.
I think she will.
There's no doubt.
You know, we've heard great things about her. So we will we'll move on. We'll talk some more high school sports when we return right here on Prep Sports Report and Radio Alabama.
The Prep Sports Report Radio Network. It's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Lines. Now, back to the show.
Hi, welcome back to Prep Sports Report. Boy, it was cloudy, gloomy Saturday. Corey LeBounty's on assignment. I'm going to tell you where he is. All you Alabama fans that hear Corey talking about being a Roll Tide fan, He's going to a little piece of heaven today, Mark. He's going to the loveliest village of the plains. I will say this.
It is a beautiful, beautiful place. I'm just telling you.
It really is.
And y'all know my allegiance.
No doubt.
You know, I've been Roll Tide since the day I first met my mama. And I have Roll Tide it ever since. We lived in Texas. We lived in Missouri. I pulled for Alabama. I remember when I was in Missouri. Remember when Missouri beat Alabama in a bowl game?
I do remember that.
I think the kid's name was John Staggers, was a wide receiver or defense. He ran back two punts against Alabama or something. But anyway, even when I was then, my high school football coach was always getting on me about Alabama. And so it was, Alabama is but Auburn University. It is the loveliest village on the planet.
Well,
it is
a beautiful place.
It is a wonderful place to live. You know, I got some great friends that live there in Auburn, and I have a very fond place in my heart. Of course, I met my beautiful bride, who is an Auburn graduate, and so I have a special place for Auburn in my heart.
You should. You know, we want to congratulate our buddy Lawrence Yelding. Poochie has just got the BC Rain job, and we're excited for Poochie. He 49 years old. Poochie's been a lifetime assistant, but he's been a head softball coach and had one of the best softball teams in the state of Alabama. Lawrence Yelding will take over at BC Rain. He starts his job on Monday, replaces Rick Cawley, who took the same job at Davidson. And Poochie, and as we call him, Poochie. Poochie's been on the rec board with me and Daphne and several other people for a long time and has done a great job there, represents his constituents well, and he just does a great, great job doing what he does. We're excited for Lawrence Yelding as they have, think Ed Sanderson and the AD director, athletic director, I think it's Edwin Burke, if I'm not mistaken. They interviewed several people and chose Lawrence Yelding to be their head coach. Lawrence, of course, worked for Coach Savarese and Coach Vickery and for Kenny King at Daphne, and has just done a wonderful job. We're excited for Poochie, and he'll do a wonderful job with those kids at BC Rain. Given the opportunity and given the things he needs to have, he'll have a great chance to do well there. But if he's not given the things that he needs, it's going to be a pretty hopeless situation. So hopefully he'll get, he'll get some upgrades over there, and he'll get every kid to send that school out. I can tell you that.
Not that, but I tell you, it's going to be hard to see Poochie in a different color.
Ooh,
all I've seen that boy for years is purple and gold. You know, but I'll tell you something. He has a great temperament.
Yeah.
For coaching high school sports and whatever it is.
Yeah.
And he's always, if you've ever noticed him, he's always the same.
Yeah.
He's just level-headed, good guy, great character. I am hoping for the best for him. I've always had the utmost respect for Coach and respect him so much and look forward to watching what he does at BC Rain and wish him all the best.
He's a graduate of Fairhope. He's one of the guys that was at Fairhope High School, graduated from there, and boy, I'm gonna tell you right now, he's a good, good guy, and he'll love those children like they've never been loved before. I can promise you, it's well deserved. Let's just put it that way. It's well deserved, and he'll do a good job for the people at BC Rain, and those students are gonna love him.
And you know, before you mentioned who he's worked for, and I've been wanting to do this for a couple of weeks, and I keep forgetting. Every year on New Year's Day, Glenn Vickery sends me a text wishing me Happy New Year.
Yeah.
And I forgot to respond to him this year. I don't think I did. And so I'm going to take this moment right now to say, Coach Vic, Happy New Year, my friend. I hope you're doing well. Hope your family is well. And I look forward to seeing you soon.
Yeah, as well. Both here. That comes from all of us at PSR. We miss Coach Vic. We do. We miss seeing him and miss seeing him on the sideline. Tell you, he was a heck of a basketball coach, a really good baseball coach. Just one of the guys that God really truly blessed to be a person who makes a difference in a lot of children's lives, and that's what Glenn Vickery did. And it's always a joy hear from him periodically, and I mean it's just and I need to be touching base.
I do too.
With him
I didn't
too.
Do a better. I didn't do a better do a job, good job of that. On that me either.
But we think about Coach Vic a lot and his beautiful wife Nancy. Just great folks, and so we certainly hope they're doing well. Let's go to the CNC Financial Auto Sales and Communication lines and talk to Scooter. Scooter, how you doing, pal?
Rick, how you doing?
Doing good.
Mark, how you doing?
Scooter, I am doing great, brother. How are you?
Good. What were you doing 50 years ago today?
50 years ago today, I would be 8 years old. I was probably in my front yard playing football with some guys in the neighborhood.
It was the Jets 16, the Colts 7, Super Bowl 3.
Oh, that was on. I thought that was on a Sunday. Well, I understand what you're saying. The date's right.
January 12, 1969.
Yeah, well, I watched that on my TV in Fort Worth, Texas. That's where I was. Watched it on my TV on Sunday afternoon with my mom and daddy. Sure
my
did.
My question is, who was the quarterback for the Baltimore Colts that afternoon?
It was Earl Morrill.
Yeah, because you notice that
Johnny Unitas was hurt.
That's right. Yeah, that's
they
good
stuff.
They put
Johnny Unitas late. It was too late.
Too late.
How
too
about
late.
That, Scooter? I kept
your
up with you.
Who scored Baltimore's only touchdown?
Hold on. Lenny, the running back. Lenny.
No, it was Tom Matty.
Tom Matty. Okay, yeah.
That's right.
He could do everything.
Wasn't he 41?
I think
41.
He was. 41.
You know your Baltimore Colts trivia.
Yeah.
Now they're the Indianapolis Colts. They could win a Super Bowl.
They got a shot.
They got a shot.
I love
but
your quarterback.
I want the Patriots, so you know I want Tom Brady.
Yep. We know you
Who
do.
Who scored the Jets when we touched them?
I have no idea. Who was it?
Matt Snell.
Was it Matt? I thought it was George Sauer. No, he caught the ball. Snell ran it into the end zone. That's
what
right.
does Matt Snell and Tom Matty both have in common?
No idea.
Ohio State.
Yeah, knew that. All right, Scoot, give us a pump.
Woo!
All right, buddy.
Thank
have
you, buddy.
Day.
God bless you.
God bless you, pal.
You too. Let's go back to the CNC Financial Auto Sales and talk to Danny. Danny, how you doing, pal?
I'm doing good, fellas. How about y'all?
Doing good, man.
I was just wondering, I mean, my kids go to Bay Minette, but I've been noticing the scores in the Baldwin County Daphne girls basketball. Hey, what's happened to them, fellas? Do we know?
Don't have any idea. Corey's not in here. Corey's our basketball guy, but what have they not done very well?
Nah, the past couple of years, I think they've won the area and went to sub-regionals, and Gulf Shores beat them like 42-19, and Bay Minette beat them bad, and I don't know.
You know, one of the things that we don't do on here, Danny, is we kind of build teams up, don't tear them down. So I wouldn't know that.
But I don't. It could be that they're young. I don't know. Yeah. I don't really know, buddy.
I know Cedric coached them for a while his daughter was playing. Now they may have a new coach and they're just going through some changes. So
I got. Well, so, I love the show, guys. I appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you listening to his partner.
We sure do. Another thing, Tommy Watson.
Heck, you know Tommy is
former Mobile Christian coach, and his brother Shane was the head coach at Faulkner in Montgomery. Shane has decided to step down, and I kind of get the inkling that Shane may take a job on Chip Lindsey's staff back at Troy, where he was for a long time. Shane is known as one of the nation's premier special teams coach.
Yes.
And it wouldn't surprise me to see Shane go back to Troy.
I would love that.
That'd be really good. But Tommy has taken over as the head football coach at Faulkner.
Yeah, that's exciting.
That's really exciting. And
you know what's funny? I remember when Shane, he played at Auburn back in the late 80s, early 90s. I couldn't stand him.
Really?
Heck no, he beat Alabama.
That's right.
You know, Summer Gun was a tremendous football player.
Sure
now,
he was.
Now, I say that with a
well,
joke
if you
in
knew
my
him,
heart.
Like
but
I
you got,
him,
and yeah. I love that. I mean, yeah, I've got to know guy. Him. Yeah. I remember when I was at Fairhope, we were going to play Eufaula in a playoff game. At Eufaula, and they had a really good team. They had the Jernigan kid playing quarterback for them. And now, we had a pretty good little bunch. We were just young. It was when we had William Hayes and Tucker Callahan and Taylor Klarman and Krishan Townsend and Tyler Smith and all of – we had Aaron Weatherford.
Right.
We go over there and play, all right? Shane meets us at the restaurant. I think we were at Quincy's or something like that. And we're talking out in the parking lot – he's fixing to leave. He's asking anything we need. And I've got Landon and Brooks there with me.
Yeah.
Okay? And so we're standing and we're talking, and Landon and Brooks are the ball boys. They're about 6 or 7 years old. But somehow Shane starts backing up, and he runs over Landon's foot in his car. Next thing I know, I look down. Landon's laying on the ground hollering. Shane puts the car in park, jumps out, gets, you know, he's all upset. Many years later, Landon's in there working for Shane Wisen at Troy University as a student assistant.
Isn't that cool?
And we just developed a friendship back then. Great guy. Love the guy to death. I hope whatever he wants to do, he does.
We'll be back with more PSR right here on the Prep Sports Radio Network in Radio Alabama, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios in Mobile, Alabama.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter and Corey LaBounty.
Oh, boy. That's some good stuff. It's always good what we talk about on the air.
I remember that day.
Oh, boy.
I remember some things. I didn't tell me. I want to give a shout-out real quick to my dad.
There you go.
And my mama. They drove down here from Birmingham yesterday afternoon, had dinner with us last night. And, you know, Dad, Mom are getting on up in age. And Dad's had some trouble with vertigo. He struggled through it. It's hard, been some hard things for a dad to adjust to, not being able to work like he wants to. That's just his, that's his nature. That's the way he was born. I think he was chopping cotton at the age of six,
yeah.
You know. And they came down to spend some time with us, and I appreciate it. And I know Dad's been on y'all's hearts because I've asked you to pray for him and my mama and their health and just help them continue to move forward. And Dad was a Southern Baptist preacher for 50 years, still preaches at a little place up there in Birmingham. And Mama was a school teacher, director, I mean, the head of the English department at Samford University. And I'm very proud of my mom and dad. And it sure is good to spend some time with them.
That's, you're a blessed man. You know, I told my students in class this week, I'd give just about anything I have just to have an hour with my daddy one more time. Just one more time, and you are a blessed man, Mark Lasseter. And those people out there that have their mom and dads that are over 50, you're blessed.
No doubt.
You are really blessed. And, you know, we hadn't talked about the game, folks, guys. We hadn't talked about it, so we want to spend a little time talking about it. And I got to tell you, I want to talk about a guy that I'm going to tell you really blossomed, I thought, in the national championship game, a kid from over here in Phoenix City, Alabama,
man.
A young man that, you know, and really loved Alabama. He did. He loved Alabama. He loved Nick Saban. But his heart told him to go to Clemson. He signed with Dabo Swinney. And I'm going to tell you right now, Justin Ross was just absolutely phenomenal.
He was.
On Monday night in a national championship game, in a game that is the apex of college football. And what an amazing game he played, and his quarterback, good man. Gracious, what alive.
Have you heard his testimony?
Oh, it's amazing. We're going to share that. We're going to share that one Saturday,
yes,
on PSR.
Are.
That's
great
gonna be,
story.
It's going to be the Camp Grace segment,
yep,
that we're going to share, and it is one. It is an amazing story.
And, you know, as a Tennessee Vols fan, Trevor Lawrence grew up in Johnson City, Tennessee,
yeah,
idolizing Peyton Manning,
right,
wanted to play at the University of Tennessee, and Butch Jones was the head coach. So I'm thinking, in a way, that guy that was on the sideline behind Nick Saban the other night kind of had a role in Trevor Lawrence heading over to Clemson and eventually beating Alabama.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you, when they talked about these two kids in Georgia, when they talked about the Fields guy, and then they said, well, there's one that's probably just as good as him.
Yeah.
I said, I don't know how that could be. Well,
yeah,
I saw how good he was the other,
yeah,
night. And
yep,
he's special. I mean, he's 6'6". As we're sitting there watching the game, Diane said, "Guy, he's thin." Well, he's thin now, but you wait. By the time he's junior eligible-wise for the NFL, he'll probably weigh 245, 250, and he is some kind of football player.
All right, I want to say a little bit about that game.
Okay.
The game was won, and first of all, I don't know what was wrong with Alabama. I cannot put a finger on it. I don't think Nick Saban can either.
No.
They were beating offense, defense, special teams.
Yeah.
You know, and things that I see is, I don't understand why anybody runs a twist stunt on the 1 yard line. That's,
ooh,
when you take a defensive lineman out of his gap and replace him with another lineman. And I don't understand that.
The best defensive player in America,
and the guy, they run right through that gap for a touchdown. I don't get that, but you know, those guys make a lot more money, a lot smarter than I am. So, will it be that as it may? But I don't know what was wrong with Alabama, but I do know what was right with Clemson. It started last year when Alabama beat Clemson in the quarterfinals or the semifinals in the playoffs.
Right.
That defensive line on the way home got together and said, we can go pro, but we love Clemson. We love our coach, and we're not going to leave unfinished business on the table. And they came back.
Yeah.
That sent a message to everybody on that football team. new recruits coming in, Justin Ross coming in, told him the story about, this is why we're at Clemson, because we love Clemson. We love our coach. You know, Dabo Swinney doesn't lose any coaches, ever. They stay, and Venables is one of the best coaches in America. Yeah. All right, they stay there, they play there. Those guys came, to me, that's when the national championship was won.
Yeah.
Because that said, we have left things undone, and we're going to make it right before we go out. Doesn't always work out for everybody, but that group sent a message to the rest of that team, we're coming back to get some business done, and they did. And they had a mission all year long. They had their stumbling blocks. They almost lost a game they should never have lost, but they overcame their quarterback leaving in the middle of the year, the young quarterback getting hurt, and a third-string quarterback stepping in, never played a game in his life, and takes him to a victory.
Right.
Barely, but he got him there.
Right.
And look what happened. To me, that is the essence of Clemson University's football team, was that group of defensive linemen who said, we're coming back to make this right. And they worked for it. They had a goal. They had a purpose. And it was evident. That team was on all fire. Now, Grant, Alabama moved the ball.
Yeah.
They had some – and could have won the game had they not just made – but they just looked out of sync to me. It just looked out of sync, the whole thing. And all of a sudden, now you see where, you know, Alabama's got coaches leaving. And
Four or five
gone. And then and some kids went out in the pros, which we knew was going to happen. But they got a great group coming back at Alabama. That's going to be – they're going to – they've got talent on offense everywhere.
You know, it beckons the question, why is it every year Coach Saban has to hire a new staff?
It's a lot of things, I think. I think, first of all, coaches come in. They get that on their resume. People go, man, they did that. Let's take them. Yeah. Or it could be, you know, I would imagine Coach Saban is not an easy guy to work for. I bet you have to have thick skin.
Yeah.
You got to give up your ego when you walk through the door.
Right.
And it's sometimes it may be too hard for folks. And they may say, you know, I don't need this. I'm going to go somewhere else. And they may come in and say, I can handle it, and then they can't, or whatever. I don't know. I don't work there.
Yeah.
But I can see there's a lot of turnover. I hope they can find some guys that will come in and stay, because one of the reasons Justin Ross did not come to Alabama is he made the statement, I don't know who my position coach will be, because they change coaches every year.
Yeah.
And that's a valid point.
It is a valid point.
Also, one of the reports I've been seeing this week is that Clemson didn't feel like they were going to have any trouble with Notre Dame. So after that ACC game, spent about a week on Notre Dame and then started
installing
for the Alabama game. And Alabama had a bit of a tougher matchup with Oklahoma, even though they took care of them pretty easy.
Yeah, you play probably the best football player in the country, with Kyler Murray, who, after I watched him play, I think the Heisman Trophy went to the guy.
Oh, the right guy.
Because he was unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, Jalen Hurts has announced that he's going to consider transferring. I'm still not convinced that he's not going to stay at Alabama, but where's a guy? Is he going to go to Miami with Dan Enos? Is he going to go to Maryland with Mike Locksley? Is he going to go home to Texas, to somewhere like TCU that's looking for a quarterback? You know, wherever he goes, I wish nothing but the best for Jalen Hurts.
Me too.
What a class act, and he's represented the University of Alabama in a way that they deserve to be represented.
He has become a legend at Alabama, and not just because of his play, but because of his heart.
Right.
Because of who the person he is. He said, no, I am not going to pack up and run.
Right.
I am going to stand tall, stand here, and try to get my job back, and I'm going to be ready when I'm called. And he got called in the SEC championship game, and guess what? He helped Alabama get to another national – that's three national championship games he helped Alabama get to.
He certainly delivered.
Yes,
he delivered in crunch time. He sure did.
I think he'll be at Miami.
Do you?
Yeah. That's where I think they don't have a quarterback there.
Right.
His coach is going there. New things, ACC, whole different group of people.
I like that. I'd like for him to get another chance at somewhere other than the
and
SEC.
And I wish him the very best, but you know, Jalen's one of those guys, he surprises you because he doesn't do what the norm thinks.
Hi, Mark, he's the son of a coach. What do you expect?
Exactly. You're right.
We've lived that. We understand that. That's you know, that's boy, he's such a class act, but we're proud of Justin Ross and the job that he did, and I'm gonna tell you, what can you say about Dabo and the job that he did? Yeah. I mean, just, and you know, he's got, you know, his word this year is joy. And, you know, did you see what he did at the football convention? Mm-hmm. Do you know his coach at Alabama, his position coach was Woody McCord?
Mm-hmm.
He brought Woody up on the podium and just honored Woody right there in front of that entire group of coaches and people. That it was humbling. And if you know Woody's just like Dabo. I mean, he's a humble African-American man that absolutely loves the game and
loves kids.
He loves kids.
Gosh, he loves kids.
And he's the guy that Dabo points to. He said the first man he called, this was interesting to me, Mark, said the first man he called when they honored him to be the head coach at Clemson was Woody McCorvey. He called him and he said, "Coach, I want you by my side. I want you to be on my staff. I don't want you to coach a position. I want you to coach life. I want you to coach life." And that's what Woody's done at Clemson for a lot of years,
yeah.
Lots and lots of years. He has been right by Dabo's side. He's been his mentor. He's been his sounding voice. And I'm sure they've had some heart-to-hearts.
Oh, yeah.
If you know Woody, you know that's Woody. He tells it just like it is. And he doesn't hold back, but it's a sincere talk. So, boy, that was – I hope you can see that. You can go back and watch that. We'll try to share that at some point in time on our Facebook page. But that's really a neat, neat thing. Hey, we'll be back with the with Camp Grace segment. It's a special segment this morning. We're going to honor a man that has meant a lot, not only to this host, but to an entire community, Jim Roberts.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rappahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace. Wayne, we'll get to you in just a minute. We got something we want to do right here, but we'll get to you on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines in just a minute, so you sit tight right there in Sylacauga. You know, friends have always told me, if you go through life with five true friends, then you are a blessed human being. Well, I can say that I have been blessed, and one of the men... Those is sitting on my left this morning. But we lost another one this week. We lost a godly, godly man. A man who made a difference in my life and so many other, hundreds and hundreds of other people's lives. Jim Roberts passed away this week. He passed away on Thursday. And he leaves behind an amazing wife. And our prayers go out to Tracy and Steele and Robert and Jane Allen and his beautiful daughters, Mary Bourne and Caroline. And you've seen, if you've gone on Facebook or any social media, you've seen the very touching father-daughter dance that Jim and Mary Bourne shared on her wedding date. Jim Roberts was a man who challenged us on a daily basis to be intentional in every aspect of our faith. I can remember him sharing with myself and another friend of ours, Bill Hart, as we met for years together in Jim's office. He challenged us to be intentional in praying for our children, for their future spouses, and for our children's children. You know, I remember him saying, he said, "You sure don't want to get to heaven and realize your family isn't going to be there with you." He was an amazing man. He was an attorney, and you know, I can remember him telling us he didn't like all the the arguments and all the arguments that went about in a courtroom, and he focused on adoption. He made so many people's dreams come true through his legal abilities, and he brought so many beautiful children into homes when they would not have had a home. That was who Jim was. And I can remember many Saturdays as I would drive home, he'd been listening to the show, and he'd make a comment about it, and he'd say, you know, Rick, always remember, the most important thing that you can do is praise the children, is build them up. And it's because of Jim that we started our motto here. We want to be a part of building children up and not a part of tearing them down. That was Jim Roberts. That was him. He's the one that he gave us that. He gave us that. That was his. And he never wanted to take credit for it. But we say it every Saturday. We've said it for 17 years. And that was Jim's life. You know, he had wit. He was smart. And he had humility beyond most people I've ever known. He would go to hospitals and visit people that were members of our church, and he might not know them, but he got to know them, and they never forgot him. He was a rock during difficult times. He was always loving. He was always kind. He exemplified Corinthians, the 13th chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, if you read it, Jim Roberts is coming right out of the pages of the Bible. God used Jim numerous times to speak directly to people. He would give you a concrete confirmation that could only come from God, and you knew it once you received it. Jim Roberts will be missed by so many people in that small community of Spanish Fort. But the young man who grew up on Sand Mountain in Albertville, Alabama, touched lives in every county he ever was in. He made a difference in so many lives. So this morning, as we dedicate this show to Jim Roberts, I hope and pray that you will remember Tracy and Robert and Steele and Jane Allen and Mary Bourne and Caroline as they continue life and those precious grandchildren that Jim was so fond of. I know from myself and from our other prayer partner, Bill Hart, who we met so many times with Jim and had so many conversations, and he prayed for our children and their spouses, and he prayed for the eternal life. He prayed for the life hereafter. Now Jim is there. And we know that we have an angel in heaven that will walk with us every step of the rest of our life. We love you, Jim Roberts. And as we lay you to rest today, we pray that other men can do half the job you did in leading other men in a direction which will prepare them for the day in which you have now come. All right, let's go to the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Lines and talk to Wayne. Wayne, how you doing, pal? Hey, Wayne.
Hey, how you doing? War Eagle.
War Eagle, Wayne.
Yeah, y'all been doing all right. I've been listening to you every weekend.
Well, we call your name a lot. Rick Morris keeps us posted on that, and we have a shout-out to
Rick Morris is in Sylacauga today.
Well, he's looking after his mama, isn't he? I guarantee you. He sure is.
He sure is. But what I want to tell you, I bought some of that barbecue sauce. I won't buy nothing but that from now on.
That's right.
That's good stuff.
That's some good barbecue sauce to cook with.
You know, those boys are right up the road. They're right from Talladega. They've opened those restaurants over in Marietta and Canton and Douglasville, and I'm going to tell you, that is some good stuff.
Buddy, it is. Well, I just thought I'd holler at you, and I enjoy your show.
Thanks a bunch, Wayne.
See you next week.
All right, pal. War Eagle to you, buddy.
All right, be good. All right,
yeah.
Thank you, man.
You know, Mark is talking about Jim, and it's true. If you go through life and you have five true friends, five guys that you can pick up the phone and say, look, I need you here right now. You know, I know that you're there. Jim was one that was there. Bill Hart is another one that was with Jim and I for many, many years. I know he's there. But, you know, it's just – and you saw it. You saw it when – we thought it was your time. We thought it was your time. And the throngs of people that came and prayed for you, it was amazing, Mark. And it's I love you. Thanks. Don't ever want to leave here without telling you that.
And same here, buddy.
And I hope that all of you out there will pray for Tracy and Robert and Steele and Jane Allen and Mary Bourne and Caroline and their spouses, and pray that, they will get through this, and God's grace will sustain them through this.
You know, that you're so right. Death is a part of life. Yep. It just is. The hardest part is the days after, when the person you love is gone. But you know what's still there? Is everything you just got through talking about is what he taught to all of his children.
Yep.
They will teach to theirs and them to theirs. Tracy, love you. Praying for you. Thank you, Jim Roberts, for all you've done for the people of Alabama and this world.
And remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, he is always with you. God bless you. We'll see you here, same place, same time next week.